This is your World War III update. So, before I get into the news and the forecast, a public service announcement is in order. You need to get stocked up right now. You need to drop whatever it is you're doing, and you need to find a way to procure whatever you think you're going to need for this year right now. Because even if, by some stroke of luck, we miraculously are able to turn this ship around tomorrow, which I think the likelihood of that happening is near zero, even if Trump comes out with some dovish statements in his Monday morning market manipulation address on Truth Social, the damage has already been done. And we are going to see long tail effects of this thing that are going to last months, if not years. Just the way the proverbial they, the establishment, the mainstream media, all the various multinational corporations that govern our lives, just the way that they're talking about this situation like it's going to be a long-term crisis and making these very long-term policy and legislation decisions for something that they're claiming, and they're trying to do damage control and manage public panic by saying, oh, don't worry, it's a short-term problem. So then why are they making these long-term solutions to these so-called short-term problems? Guys, it would be imprudent for anybody who has any understanding of what's going on right now not to prepare and not to get squared away. We probably have a brief window of opportunity where things are not exorbitantly priced and there's still availability of vital commodities that you will need before the government rationing begins, before the price fixing begins by the government in an attempt to curtail runaway inflation and price gouging. This is the time to do it now. Now, again, even if this, you're perfectly justified in doing this, so long as it doesn't mean going in insurmountable debt, obviously, but you're perfectly justified at this point in time. Never has there been a more justifiable point in time. Every single indicator is flashing red. Okay. So like I said, even if they turn the ship around tomorrow and all sides of World War III are able to redress their grievances in a timely fashion, the lasting effects are already going to be in motion. And we're already looking at a cumulative shortfall of not only oil, but liquefied natural gas, various agricultural inputs to the tune of hundreds of millions of barrels per day. And that grows barrels total, and that grows by the day. So do what you got to do. Okay. This is really the final warning. I mean, the best time to plant a tree was years ago. The second best time to start prepping is right now. Okay. There's still not a panic. There's still toilet paper in the stores, but I can't guarantee it's going to be like that for much longer. We are looking at actual deadlines. I'm going to quantify all this tomorrow in a more targeted report that I'm going to do that establishes deadlines for actual deliveries of fuel to various countries, not only various types of oil and raw materials, but also refined products like diesel and gasoline, which are going to be suspended within a few weeks in certain countries. And that is going to have repercussions around the world because we do live in a global commodities market. If Australia can't get oil or can't get gasoline or diesel, they're going to be willing to pay more for it. And that means that somebody here, unless there's some sort of government intervention, and you never want that because there's always unintended effects and externalities, they're going to be willing to purchase that, and that's going to drive the price up globally. So please, just do me a favor. Just go out and stock up. And I think at this point in time, it's safe to say, take a big grain of salt, even if Trump comes out tomorrow and says mission accomplished, which he very well may, because understand, his market manipulation attempts are proving more and more impotent. So he has to keep raising the bar in terms of the level of promise. So I would not be surprised if he came out with something that completely shocked the markets, where he said, oh, there's going to be another meeting, or we're going to be pulling troops back, or, you know, there's a peace deal that's been signed, or mission accomplished. You know, they're going to have to say something. A lot of people are going to fall for it, but I don't think it's going to work nearly as well. So in terms of what's going on right now, in terms of promises which have been broken, there was supposed to be a moratorium on attacks on power plants inside Iran. And apparently that has now been lifted, because throughout the weekend, we've seen all kinds of bad happen. I talked to Professor Mirandi on Friday. Would strongly encourage you to watch that video. He gives you the inside scoop on what's going on inside Iran. But it appears as though pretty much all of our fears were realized. They're targeting power plants. They're targeting water facilities. Water is already very scarce and in short supply, and was causing a crisis before this war started in Iran. And it's very sensitive infrastructure around the Middle East. They're targeting universities. All of this has been targeted. At the time of making this video, Iran is in a state of blackout. Now, there are rumors, and I say these are just rumors. And a lot of what I tell you guys is anecdotal. It's based on OSINT. It's based on mainstream sources, but it's also based on people who I know who are in the know on the ground, NDA levels of clearance, but they still tell me whatever they can. And I can tell you that they are claiming that they're using soft kill munitions on the power grids inside Iran. So these are like aluminum filament bombs, which don't do permanent damage to the facilities, but they temporarily black things out. So what they do is they induce electrical short circuits by basically inundating the substation or the power line or transfer station or whatever with these aluminum or some type of microfilament material, which causes it to short circuit. And this temporarily will disable the power grid. Now, rumor has it, and this is just rumored now, that the objective is to foment some sort of insurrection prior to getting boots on the ground, so that sleeper cells are going to be activated under the cover of darkness. And this is something I'm deriving from multiple Mossad cryptic accounts on Twitter and Telegram, where they're suggesting that under the cover of night, this is when the light shall emerge and things like that. But we've seen this happen before, where there are armed militants inside Iran. And what they've done traditionally is they've used Starlink to try to coordinate their activities. Well, Iran, leveraging the help of various suppressant techniques and technologies from the Chinese and the Russians, were able to actually reverse this on the insurgents by using it to actually detect their location and bust up a lot of these sleeper cell terrorist groups from the perspective of the Iranians. Of course, from the collective Western brainwashed propaganda point of view, these are going to be viewed as liberators. I think it's safe to say at this point, they don't care about liberating the Iranian people. They've never cared about liberating anybody. This is purely a commodities play. This is purely a dominance play and attempt to weaken China at the end of the day. Now, we know that boots on the ground is now a viable possibility. Yesterday, prior to, is it Mark Levin? Anyways, I don't know who this guy is. I just know that he's full of shit. Anyways, Trump amplified a podcast that he did yesterday. He said everybody should tune in to Mark Levin's podcast. And Mark Levin proceeded to make a case for boots on the ground. And he argued in that video that while Trump never said that we weren't going to put boots on the ground, ergo, boots on the ground is still on the table. And this is a podcast that Trump, or whoever's running Trump's social account, I'm not sure who is at this point. I don't think it's Trump. Maybe there is, you know, it's him and somebody else. But he directed people to that podcast where Mark Levin makes a case for boots on the ground. And we're already being told that there's been troop surges. There's been a lot of anecdotes with respect to troops getting their deployment papers. I've been getting messages from people. The military generals have been sending out emails, mass emails to people, memos about, I have one today to read to you about getting ready to deploy. There's a viral video going around of a stripper, apparently by a, I know it's weird, but you know, we got to take what we can get with respect to this human intelligence. She's claiming that guys are coming in from the military base surrounding there and are depressed because they're going to be deployed soon. And a lot of these guys are very young, you know, maybe some of them never been with a woman. And so, leave it to the oldest profession to give you the inside scoop on World War III, right? So, the The IRGC is claiming misdirection. The Iranian security officials believe that the U.S. is planning an air assault operation on key southern airports, including Bandar Abbas, Kerem Shah, Urmia, and Tabriz, while coordinating with militia ground invasion on northwestern Iran, according to state-run Tehran Times. So what does this mean? For if you don't know the geography, it just means that the Karg Island thing is just a ruse. It's just misdirection. It's deception. They're going to go, it's going to be a multi-prong attack, and it is likely going to, a component of it is going to be in Kurdistan, in the northwestern part of Iran, because in addition to the making a case for boots on the ground, Mark Levine was talking about the importance of trying to get this nuclear material, okay? So that would require, who knows where it is? For starters, they don't know where it is. I'm sure they have some intelligence and some signals as to where it is, but it's likely scattered in multiple places. It would require immense amounts of excavation equipment, and it would certainly be a red zone if there ever was one, to go in there and to have to stay in there for the period of time required to actually dig it out and reacquire it without sustaining large casualties seems to be a fantasy. So it's looking like what we're being told about the ground invasion is probably just all a ruse, and watch what the other hand is doing. Now, Iran is mobilizing internally. They launched a nationwide Janfada, or a sacrificing life volunteer drive, in recent days, with mass text messages urging civilians to prepare to defend the country against what the regime called American Zionist threats. So they all got this text message on their phone that requested mass mobilization of paramilitary forces and basically just a total war mobilization of the civilian population, whoever was willing. At the same time, residents across Iran have reported a heavier internal security presence, including new checkpoints and armed patrols, as the regime appears to be tightening control due to fears of a wider war and domestic unrest. In and around Isfahan, which is a nuclear facility or a city that has a very vital nuclear facility, locals reporting has also described checkpoint activity and arrests tied to accusations of sharing information about strikes and security deployments. Well, there's going to be a lot of that. There's 90 million people, and a lot of them, although they might be starting to sympathize more with the regime as they watch the collective West effectively indiscriminately target various facilities that are going to have a negative impact on civilian life, there still are a lot of agents in the midst. And in fact, a lot of Israeli spies have been training for this for decades, okay? Now, the Israelis are also getting hit, but not to the same extent. Iran's retaliation continues to be tepid and measured, from my point of view. While there is counterattacks on various steel facilities across the Middle East and other manufacturing facilities, industrial facilities outside the scope of oil and gas in response to major attacks on Iranian steel plants the other day, what we're seeing, at least what we're seeing, because we know that these Gulf states and Israel have a tighter stranglehold over the information that's allowed out, because it's harder to, well, I should say it's easier to crack down when there's a smaller population and when you don't have all these dissidents and spies running around like you do in Iran sharing the explosions. But basically what we have seen has not been, you know, as impressive optically anyways. But we don't know if Iran is targeting these facilities in various bottlenecks, because just because you can see a lot of black smoke in the sky doesn't mean that they targeted a critical junction in that facility that could take it offline. Like, there may be some small bottleneck within an oil and gas refinery, for example, that is more important than taking out the actual storage tanks, something that could potentially take months, if not years, to repair. And you might not even see a lot of smoke, is what I'm trying to say. So that's something to keep in mind. When you're seeing these massive attacks take place on Russian oil refineries, yes, optically, it looks really bad. And in the case of Ust-Luga, which is being hit day after day after day, yeah, that place is getting fucked up, okay? And there's no copesters on X that will convince me otherwise. That place is being completely destroyed. That's a very unique case. A lot of times they'll hit one storage tank, but a storage tank is a storage tank. It's not like a critical component of the entire facility's processing capability. It's more damaging to target certain parts of the facility that actually go into the production and filling up those tanks with stuff. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. Now, we have seen a increase in ships passing through the Strait of Hormuz, but a lot of these are bulk carriers. So these are not oil tankers. While there have been a few, and while the United States is still allowing the passage of Iranian oil tankers in order to mitigate the rise in oil prices, we have not seen a drastic increase in the oil tanker deliveries across the strait, with a few exceptions. It's also important to note that the Iranians have an asymmetrical ace in the hole, and that is these container-based launchers. Now, if the United States attempts to get close to the Strait of Hormuz, there's another animal that they have to contend with, and that is these launchers that are disguised as cargo containers. Okay, now we've seen this throughout Iran, where a lot of these are disguised as civilian trucks. It could look like a milk truck or anything, but it could have an actual launcher in the back. That's just asymmetrical warfare. That's a smart way to do it. Now, there's 1.5 to 3 million shipping containers, it's estimated, anywhere in Iran on any given day. Most of these are probably going to be at ports, but, you know, people have them in their backyards. They have them anywhere. And if you're seeing these bulk carriers in and around the Strait of Hormuz, if they belong to Iran, you have to assume that they may have weapons on them. So I don't think that they've activated these weapons yet. I think that these are more of a last-ditch weapon of resort. But it could come to that, whereby we get all kinds of surprises. Because I think I'm sure the military planners are aware of the military prowess of the Iranians. They fought the Americans in Iraq for many years, so I'm sure they're incorporating a lot of the lessons that were learned. Of course, this is a very unique war if it goes on the ground, because unlike the Vietnamese, unlike the Iraqis, the Iranians have far more capable technologies, and they also have the backing of the Chinese and the Russians. Now, the Vietnamese had the backing of the Chinese, but the Chinese at the time were nothing compared to what they are right now. So that's something to keep in mind. We're already seeing prescribed blackouts in Egypt. So they're already starting to, in order to save energy, they're starting to do preemptive blackouts. And you're going to start seeing that across the board. Cost of living is hitting food banks in Canada, so visits are now limited to once a month. Food banks across the country are being forced to scale back services at a time when Canadians need them most. Due to limited supplies in southern Saskatchewan, the Moose Jaw and District Food Bank plans to limit households to just one visit per month instead of the usual two, beginning April 1st. And this is what I mean by long-term solutions to short-term problems, okay? They will also reduce the amount of food handed out to each visitor. Our resources aren't just keeping up with the demand, said Executive Director Jason Moore in an interview with CTV News. As I indicated, people are noticeably becoming more aggressive at checkouts, and I watched a video recently. You guys perhaps seen this one. It's a woman putting gasoline, I think it must be gasoline, maybe, hopefully it was diesel. Diesel is much less volatile than gasoline. But she was putting gasoline in bags, okay, like actual like grocery store plastic bags, and putting it into the back of her little car. Now, look, it's easy for us to make fun of something like that, but that becomes a safety hazard for everybody at some point. And if you go back through my library of content, one of the things that I've advised about, especially here in the West, where people lack the kind of common sense, because in other societies, you know, they're aware of these things. Even in India, where you see the guys doing it, there's just something about controlled chaos in those societies where they don't have traffic lights. They just have more of their wits about them. Even if they are playing with fire, they're more competent in playing with fire. Here, I mean, you know, in wintertime, power outages, people turn their cars on to run their electricity or to keep themselves warm in their garages, and they die. The same thing is going to happen. If you live in a high-rise building, you have to have a contingency plan for fire. The cities are going to burn in when the lights go out, because when emergency services can't show up and people are making fires in their homes, or they're just doing stupid shit because they haven't grown accustomed to not having the grid at their disposal, you're going to have people making all sorts of accidents. And that was just one woman. You can presume that it's probably being done all over the country, right? In places where there's gasoline in short supply. So obviously, if you're going to stockpile gasoline, it's very volatile. Would not advise storing it, you know, where you sleep or near where you sleep or near lithium batteries or anything that's potentially flammable. If you do it in short supply, well, in short amounts, small amounts, it's probably okay. But, you know, you don't want to be storing. I think there's even a law that prohibits you storing in excess of certain amounts if you don't have it in a proper storage tank. It's very hard to find large gasoline storage tanks. You can get them, but they're very expensive because it is very dangerous. Okay. Diesel is a very versatile fuel source, especially for heating. Not everybody has a diesel vehicle, obviously, but it is the preferred fuel of choice if you can. The U.S. Defense Department is looking for companies that can quickly supply prefabricated transportable bunkers to protect troops amid the ongoing conflict in Iran. A federal notice asks vendors to outline delivery timelines of 3, 15, and 30 days. So they want these bunkers that they can deploy in a pinch on the ground, I presume, inside Iran. In fact, Ron Atlas just texted me today. He's currently in the United Arab Emirates, and he's doing some consultation with the government there to build out bunkers in a way which is very similar to what they have going on in Israel. Okay. Now, Dmitry Peskov, the spokesperson for the Russian government, says that Russian-U.S. relations have reached their lowest point ever. Okay. Lowest point ever. That is huge, because remember what Trump just said about Ukraine and Russia. Oh, it looks like things are calming down, and they've never been calmer. That's farthest from the truth. Our relations across all areas have reached their lowest point in history. They have essentially come to a halt. That is huge, considering the Russians are now being accused of enabling the Iranians, not only by providing materiel, but also intelligence to do strikes on American military bases. Okay. We also have drones that have strayed into Finnish territory. Apparently, the prime minister himself came out, the Finnish prime minister, and tried to calm things down a little bit by advising people that it was actually Ukrainian drones that fell into Finnish airspace because they were trying to target St. Petersburg oil and gas. Now, there still are accusations that the Baltics airspace is being utilized towards this end. So Putin's got to make a move. I don't know what he's doing, but people inside Russia are getting very, very pissed off. And at the time of making this video, they were attacking another port in Novorossiysk. This Ust-Luga port that I told you about a few days ago has basically been hit every single day. There's another oil refinery, Primorsk oil refinery, that's been hit. So they're just lighting it up. And they're doing all of this with the help of American ISR. So they're doing all of this irrespective of the impact that it would have on global oil prices. And this is where, you know, I have an ear to the conspiracy theorists who are saying maybe they don't care about the price of oil and gas, and they know it's going to go to 300, and they know it's going to cause mass famine, and they're waiting for the lockdowns, and they're going to do some false flag, and they're going to blame it on the Iranians. And they know that the loyalists who support Trump, the 30% or so, are going to support him to the ends of the earth. And once they get this false flag done, as Salente was saying on the show yesterday, that is when they're going to have license to do a military draft, and everybody's going to be starry-eyed and patriotic. And that's when they're going to play that card. Okay. So things in Russia are have never been worse. They have never been worse. Just because you're not hearing about it, just because you don't read about it, it's bad. And I personally think that Putin and Xi Jinping, they are waiting for the U.S. to fully commit ground forces. And when they become inextricably ensnared in a crisis there, because you can't just pull your troops out once you put them in. Okay, that's just not how it works. You'll leave a power vacuum there, and the negative ramifications of that will far exceed even staying there. So once they commit, I think that's when Putin, who's been saving a lot of his drones, because the Ukrainian drone strikes have actually been more numerous than the Russian drone strikes in the last few months. And it's almost like the Russians are saving their stuff right now for something, for some big arrow offensive. And the Chinese, as we're going to talk about in a moment here, are also seemingly preparing to do something in and around the Taiwan Strait. So we got deadlines coming up. I'm going to talk about that more tomorrow. I'm going to do an in-depth video on the various deadlines of various countries should they not receive the oil and natural gas and fertilizers that they need to get the crops in the ground. Apparently, this thing called the World Uncertainty Index has reached historical highs, and it's completely off the charts. I'm not sure if you can see that. And basically, what this is an economic indicator that is measured by doing an aggregate of all of the times the term uncertainty appears in economic literature. So it's not like an exact science, but it's certainly an indication of sentiment. And the sentiment right now is really, really bad. At the time of making this video, I'm looking at the price of crude oil, and it looks like it's up about 3%. And so I would expect that if that trend continues, then we're going to see Trump make a statement pretty soon, which will attempt to cool the markets. Taiwan is set to raise fuel prices for the third time this month, as economists warn that a prolonged war in the Middle East could drive inflation and raise energy security concerns. Of course, they are on a very short supply, and they have maybe a week or so of oil and gas left at any given time. Usually it's about 2 weeks worth of reserves. But I think right now they got about a week left before they really start to run dry. China has allegedly stationed assets across the strait of the Taiwan Strait, that is. China has stationed 200 plus converted J-6 attack drones at six air bases near the Taiwan Strait, five in Fujian province and one in Guangdong province, designed to flood air defenses in a first wave assault like cruise missiles. So it appears as though they could be getting ready to make their move. Japan is preparing to intervene if China makes a move. China has issued tough ultimatums to Japan over Tokyo's plans to deploy new missile systems with a range of up to 4,000 kilometers. Beijing perceives this as a direct threat to its territory. So I'm just going to conclude with a reminder once again, please, you need to take this stuff seriously. You need to prepare. If you want to get prepping food, stay away from the 30-day food supply scams. If it seems too good to be true, it is. It doesn't taste good. Your kids will hate you for it. There's a good chance that you're probably just going to go on and hunt and grow potatoes instead if you buy that stuff. If you want to buy prepper food, go through the link in the description. You get 15% off freeze-dry wholesaler foods. It is far and away the best company in the United States to get preparedness food. They don't ship to Canada anymore, unfortunately. There's other places you can go in Canada to get food. Just make sure if you're going to get something, it's like a Nutri-Store or a Mountain House, Backpacker's Pantry, all the stuff that we used to sell at CanadianPreparedness.com. And man, I bet you any money, those people who capitalize on the deals that we had at CanadianPreparedness.com before I closed down the shop, I bet you they got a big smile on their face right now because they saved a lot, and that stuff is just going to skyrocket in price from here on in. We still do have odds and ends at Canadian Preparedness, things that will still go up in price, like a lot of just kind of general survival supplies. But we don't have any food left. And whatever food that we did, I kind of kept quite a bit for myself also. But, you know, I think this is the time to take action. The window is really closing. This really starts to look like COVID all over again. So do yourself a favor. Don't believe the hype. If Trump comes out in the morning and says everything's fine, let's hope it is. Let's hope that this is the peak of the crisis and that everything winds down from here. But it's certainly not looking like that. And you are fully justified to do a little bit of pre-positioning at this point and try to provision whatever you can. Because if you can't, then, you know, there's a good chance that once the news gets out there that we're going to see a very steady uptick in people's panic buying. And I think this could be the final week before that really takes off. So get out there and get to it. And also, if you are going to be planting a garden this year, just remember that these things like fertilizers and whatnot are going to be more expensive. So you might want to seize upon the opportunity to get those before, you know, the May long weekend rush or whatever, when people buy their gardening supplies. Okay, guys, thanks for watching. Talk to you soon.